I'm Howard Hale. Glad you could join me for today's edition of the Horseman's Corner. A couple of good horsemen with you, not nationally known, but they're excellent horsemen, Mike Brazier and Steve Sword. And let's start out with Mike Brazier. He's a Fort Lupton, Colorado horseman. Mike, the COVID kind of threw a kink in the clinic schedules for 2020. How's things looking for 2021?
Yes, sir. I'll have a few here and there. You know, we're kind of trying to get them down to where they're a little bit more, you know, not as big and more focused on what people are looking for, specific things instead of just kind of all over the place.
What are some of the specific things that people seem to be interested in?
You know, it seems like a lot of the obstacle challenge stuff, the Colorado Obstacle Challenge deal has really taken off. I think people are really interested in the obstacle challenge. I think a lot of people are interested in stockmanship, working horses on a cow, trail riding, things of that nature, things that they can put into practice the horsemanship, things that they've learned on how to use their horses in a way that, you know, actually using their horses with the horsemanship that they've learned on how to actually work with that horse.
Mike, you have a clinic coming up later in the summer, if I understand correctly, with Randy Reiman. What's the purpose of having Randy come in and put on a clinic?
You know, I have always just loved hanging out with Randy. All of those guys that were able to be around Tom and Bill Dorrance and be around Ray Hunt. I've just learned so much from those guys. And Randy is just a phenomenal mentor and horseman. And the reason for bringing him in is, you know, I've spent 20, 25 years now working on my horsemanship, but it's thanks to guys like Randy that are willing to keep sharing what they're learning. And Randy's just a good guy and the kind of guy that, you know, you want to be around to help you get better with your horses.
Yeah, and the people that come to the clinic are going to learn a lot too, won't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Randy is also, if I'm remembering correctly, a rawhide breeder and a cowboy poet.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And so those are all things that have kind of been, you know, just an interest to me my whole life. And so, you know, that's some of the reasons that, you know, I think birds of a feather tend to flock together. And, I like being around guys like Randy that can show you how to do things in a practical way.
What's the date of that clinic?
You know, right now we're kind of up in the air. You'll have to check back on our Facebook page. It's going to end up being closer to the fall now. We had a fallout with the place we were going to hold it. And so we're looking for a facility to hold that will have enough room for everybody. And the thing that's going to be great about that clinic is we're going to do it in a way that it's more of like a cowboy weekend. And so that's another reason why we're looking for the right place to do it. Randy talked about wanting to do some cowboy poetry, maybe have a little bit of a barbecue Saturday afternoon. And we're wanting to make it more of like a cowboy type clinic, you know, showing skills and skill sets of kind of Great Basin horsemanship.
Sounds like going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be a blast. So,
what about you and your horsemanship? Where are you on the journey at this point in time?
You know, we just finished up a stint. We helped out at the CSU's Legends of Ranching program here this last year. And, you know, as far as my horsemanship and where I'm wanting to take my stuff, I just want to keep helping people that haven't been around this style of horsemanship or are seeking a better way of developing a horse that, you know, actually works a horse, you know, with the horse, not against him. And so those are the things that, you know, as far as where I'm headed, I haven't really deviated. I just kind of more confident in where I want to ago now with my horsemanship.
Are the young people over at Colorado State pretty receptive to the kind of horsemanship you're talking about?
I think pretty much everybody is receptive to this style of horsemanship, because it's obvious you can see the mental changes in a horse when you're working with him and not against him.
Before you do that, let's talk about that Legends of Ranching. Was it a pretty good sale this year?
It was a great sale. They had some of the, if I remember right, the averages were somewhere around 7,000 for the colts. One of the best sales that CSU has ever had now.
Well, that's good. Were there some older horses in the sale as well?
There were some from some Haythorns and Singletons, and it was just a great program. It was fun working with John Snyder up there this last year and the other trainers that were involved, and it was fun to see the progress that all those colts made and those kids and how we all worked together. It was amazing.
Something you're going to continue to do in the future?
We'll see how that goes. You know, we don't know what's going on from one day to the next, you know, right now with COVID and whatnot. So, you know, I'm open to being asked back, and if I can help up there in any way, I'm sure open to helping them. But right now we're focused on here at the house and getting horses rode here and helping the folks that come here to get some education that way, and just do what we can to help.
Hey, talk about the style of horsemanship that you practice, where you're trying to get along with that horse. Kind of give us a definition, would you?
Ray Hunt used to say that it's about working a horse through his mind, you know, with his mind, through his body, down to his feet. And I kind of feel like if we work with horses, to me the definition of that is, if, you know, if you don't have to force something on something, that's a sure better way of getting him to want to be responding to you when you kind of let him find his way, set it up and let him find his way, versus, by God, you horse, you'll do what I tell you to do, or the consequences are extreme. And so there's dang sure a time when we need to ask more of those horses, but I think that sometimes if we back up just a little bit and we say, you know, I'm gonna reach for you, can you reach for me? I think that's where the difference is. And instead of saying, by God, you'll do it this way or else, it's, hey, I'm asking this of you, can you hunt and look for a release which will give you relief? And when you find that, and when horses find that release from the release, it's like a dopamine rush to those horses, and they'll keep seeking it if you allow it to happen.
And it's hard to tell how long it's going to take, isn't it, sometimes, for the horse to find the right answer?
Well, Randy shared a story with me here a month or so ago. Bill Dorrance was working with a guy that was having a little bit of a problem with his horse at a roping. And the kid was just frustrated. And Randy said that kid kind of got a little irritable and looked over at Bill and said, well, and Bill was about 90 at this time. And the kid reached, asked Bill, well, how long is this going to take? And Bill looked at him and says, well, I've got from now on. And, you know, so it's a simple answer, right? But it's so pointed in the sense that, you know, it takes as long as it takes.
A horse doesn't have a timetable, do they?
No, sir. And I think that's where sometimes the disconnect happens between horses and humans, is the simple fact that most all humans have a timeline. You know, I mean, we're especially here in the U.S., we're a country that's set on timetables, timelines, schedules. We've got deadlines. We have to meet this. We have to meet that. If we don't have him ready, then he can't go to the show, and then it ends up being into more of a money deal. And, you know, horses, God love them, because, you know, they still tolerate us.
Mike, it's kind of interesting. When I called you last night, we were going to do this interview yesterday evening, and it was pretty late when I gave you a call, and you hadn't had a chance even to eat supper or do your chores yet because of what?
Well, I was just working on a horse. So, you know, I've got an older horse. He's a 7-year-old buckskin horse that came in to me from a fella that lives up north of me here, up above Greeley there, and I think he's 62 or 63, and this horse has been just a little bit frightful of things and scary objects, and so this horse had come to me to kind of get a little bit more of that out of him, to be more of a solid broke for this client. And, you know, to me, there's a whole lot of horses out there right now that are trained, but they aren't real broke. And then on that flip side, there's a bunch of horses out there that are extremely broke, but they're not very trained. And what I'm looking for are broke, trained horses, you know. And, you know, he needs some work, and he needs to be exposed to some things, because a lot of 63-year-old guys can't just crawl up on one and hope that it all works out. They need to be a little bit more solid mount. And so it was a little bit later last evening when you called, but, you know, the sun was still burning a little bit, so we had to make use of our time.
What were some of the issues that the horse was having?
Well, he just, anywhere he goes, he's just real watchy about everything. With you expose him to those things, and then turn the heat up a little bit on him in the sense of, you know, let them know that those things can get kind of wound up, but they're not going to. Then we reassure the horse and let him know that that's all right. And then when he lets down, we go to rubbing on him. And then pretty quick, them horses get to a spot where they're like, ah, that's not going to bother me. You have to get him to respond in that way.
Mike, time for a break. Let's do that. You folks stay with us. Going to be back with more from Mike Brazier in just a moment. You're listening to the Horseman's Corner. Bunkhouse Trailer Sales has a large inventory of Big Bend trailers that handle the tough jobs like they should, with features that every cattleman can appreciate. But they're doing it from a new location. That's at Steve's Truck and Equipment between Scottsbluff and Mitchell in the Nebraska Panhandle. If you can't stop by, give them a call at 308-623-9955 or check them out at bunkhousetrailersales.com. bunkhousetrailersales.com for your next stock or horse trailer, including the tough, practical, cattleman-friendly Big Bend trailers. And you can also find Bunkhouse Trailer Sales by going to horsemanscorner.com. Click on the trailers or type in trailers. That's at horsemanscorner.com. A lot of other good horse businesses there as well. Everything from saddles to real estate to trainers. It's all on horsemanscorner.com, plus new content 6 days a week. That's at horsemanscorner.com. Why don't you visit soon?
In today's world, our body's immune system is critical to staying alive and healthy. Find the best immunity system building products at greengoldnaturalhealing.com. My wife and I believe so much in these products that we became representatives in order to help others. Visit greengoldnaturalhealing.com. And as always, thanks again for listening, and may God bless. I'm Brian Hale.
Hey, thanks for staying with us here on the Horseman's Corner. We're on the second segment of today's program, and let's continue with Mike Brazier. That rubbing on him is kind of a good deal for a horse, isn't it? If you rub on them at the right time.
Yes, sir. Well, and I think it goes back to the psychology, too, in the sense of, you know, every one of the horses I ever worked had a mother. And one of the first things anybody who knows anything about horses and cows knows, that the first thing that happens to those babies when they come out is they start getting licked on, a.k.a. rubbed on. And so those are some of the earliest memories. And if you know how to reassure a horse and get in there and go to rubbing on him, that early experience, I think, comes back to those horses.
And rubbing is a lot better than patting on a horse, isn't it?
Well, I tell people at my clinics all the time, and my demographic is mostly ladies, you know, from anywhere from 8 years old to 80 plus. And you always see them up there telling them, oh, you did a good job, and they're patting on their horses pretty good and pretty rough sometimes. And I'll ask them, I'll say, now, if your husband comes home from work and he says, how was your day? And you say, how was your day? And then you'll, oh, I sure missed you. And then you go to smacking them in the cheek there and whacking on them, a.k.a. impacting them, how irritable do you get? Versus if he comes up to you and strokes your hair and says, hey, I missed you. I'm glad I'm back home. What's the difference in the feeling? And, you know, it all resonates with them. So.
Yeah, that's it's interesting, but that's something that people don't think about.
Well, it's just, you know, I don't know. I think there's a time when you can pat on one, but I think that sometimes we go to an extreme, and that's what's so awesome about a horse is he just tolerates us.
No, it's kind of interesting. I know back a few years ago you went through a kind of a scary bout with leukemia. How did the horses help you get through that?
Well, you know, the thing about a horse is he doesn't have an ego. He doesn't have anything to prove to you. And, you know, when you are going through a kind of a deal like I went through, you know, what's nice about it is going out there and he's not looking at you from the standpoint that you're sick, right? He's not telling you, well, you need to get to this doctor, you need to get to that doctor, you need to do this, or you need to not do that. He's just there. And to me, that's kind of was a true blessing for me, was to be able to have these horses that, you know, you can just go cry on, and then they're just there for you. And, you know, I don't know that they know they're doing it, but I don't know that they're not, that they don't know that they're not doing it, if that makes sense. And so, you know, it was either Teddy Roosevelt or Winston Churchill that said that there's something about the outside of a horse that's good for the inside of a man. And I think that's a very, very true statement. So.
Well, isn't the other thing you get, you have to concentrate on the horse when you're working with him, and that gets your mind off of some other things.
Right, correct. Well, and it's all about focus at that point. You know, what you focus on is, you know, what's going to be at the forefront of your mind. And, you know, when we get with a horse, if you're not focused on where he's at and what he's needing, you know, the consequences on that can be dire. And so I think that's what's really good about, you know, working horses and doing those kinds of things is that it can kind of bring you into getting laser focused instead of like just shotgunning things. And I just think horses are great for a lot of those reasons.
You know, we talk about pressure and release with the horse. How important is the timing of that release? And the timing of the pressure as far as that's concerned.
Sure. Well, you know, knowing when to put a little more pressure on and when to take the pressure off is, you know, is the key point. And a lot of times, you know, I say it a lot in my clinics, and I learned this from another fellow out there. And, you know, it's not just the release of pressure. It's what he gets from the release of pressure, which is relief. And when a horse finds that he gets relief from doing the right thing, right, well, then he won't be looking to be into those difficult things. So it goes back to the whole idea of the right thing easy and the wrong thing difficult. And so, you know, if he's doing the wrong thing, we need to put the pressure and keep the pressure there until he starts seeking the right thing. And when the right thing happens, that's when we release. And when we release, our timing of that release can create the relief, which then gives the horse a oh, I'm going to seek that because that other wasn't good.
And don't you have to give him some time to enjoy that relief before you, in other words, don't just rush off into something else?
Yeah, and so we call that soaking on one, you know, and I think that there's a lot of correlations when you start thinking about dopamine and how dopamine works in the horse's mind and how it contributes to the good or the lack of, I guess is what I'm trying to say, like when we start thinking about that, the timing of that release in the brain, up there at school this last year, they did a deal on the timing of like a twitch, like to help doctor one. And a lot of times in the past, you know, you'd put a twitch on a horse or whatever to kind of help things. It takes over 30 seconds for that to actually hit. people would just put a twitch on one and go right to work, and then they can blow through that dopamine hit. And so I think that giving a horse time when you release on him and letting him soak on what you just showed him is just going to make the next time you do that, make him hunt that relief even faster.
Hey, Mike, what would you like to add that I haven't thought to ask you about?
Oh, I don't know, Howard. I just enjoy always talking to you on the phone, and these interviews are great. You know, I think that the only thing that I would add is that, you know, I told some kids up there this last year, I said, don't be so open-minded that you believe everything you hear, but don't be so closed-minded that you don't go and explore some other ways of doing things. And I think that we need to get better at showing people that, you know, there is more than one way to do things, but how you go about doing those things make the difference in how the horse reacts and treats you back.
Okay, so people need to be a little bit careful, don't they, about who they kind of follow or who they look on as a mentor?
Well, you know, I'm not one to say anything on that. I guess, Howard, you know, some people can make up their own mind. There's people out there that are doing things that other people really like. And I may not agree with it, but it doesn't mean that maybe necessarily that what those people are doing are necessarily wrong, I guess. I was pretty blessed as a young man, you know, 17, 18 years old, to be introduced to this style of horsemanship and get to ride with some really great horsemen my whole life. And so, you know, my opinion on that could be a little skewed to other people, because I'm pretty set in, I know what works with the horse, and I know what I got taught, and I know that what I'm doing is correct and right. And so, you know, what I would say is find somebody that is following the right kind of practices that those kind of great horsemen put out.
And you're always learning, aren't you?
I never stop learning. I'm a firm believer that the day you think you've got it all figured out, they're going to be throwing dirt in your face.
And we talk about getting the horse better a little bit at a time. You got to get yourself a little better, too, every day, don't you?
Yes, sir. You know, one of the big things that I tell people, because, you know, I, like you said, last night I was still out there riding horses, and it was dang near dark. And, you know, I'm blessed to be able to do that. And so what might take me not as long to figure out is because I get to work on it every day, all day long. And so I tell people all the time that come to work or ride with me that, you know, if you want to be 100% better than you are today, just improve yourself 1% every single day. In 100 days, you're 100% better than you were when you started. And I'm a firm believer that you have to try really hard to not improve yourself by at least 1% a day. Most people are going to improve themselves 3, 4, 5% every day. So if you think about a year-long run, right, you figure every 90 days, if you keep working and riding your horses, I mean, in a year's time, you can be 400% better than you were the day you started in that year. And so it's just putting that out there that, you know, seek education, seek out the right kind of education, and ride your horses. Work your horses. They're the best teacher we'll ever have.
Well, Mike, thanks a lot. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me.
Absolutely, Howard. I always enjoy our talks, and hopefully we'll be able to get on here again sometime. And if people are interested and want to see what we're doing, easiest way to look stuff, we've got some new things up and coming. We've got some video things in the works for this coming summer to put out there to folks, a little bit more of a how-to video deal. And we got some clinics coming up, and if anybody needs some horses rode or want to just come out and come ride with us, if you can go to Facebook page there, it's kind of sometimes the easiest way to find me, and that's just Mike Brazier Horsemanship. And then we've got a new website getting built up right now, and that's under BrazierHorsemanship.com.
Fort Lupton, Colorado horseman Mike Brazier. You stay tuned. Going to be back with another really good horseman, Steve Sword, in just a moment. You're listening to the Horseman's Corner.